Well, I had a wonderful summer. And I believe most of us did. So we'll try it once more. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be with you, and I thank the Lord indeed for your kind invitation to be with you and his provision that I should be here. Now, I am from a small assembly. When I was in New York City, the assembly ran 250 to 300, something like that. But where I am now, we started in the home. Well, that's so nice. And now we rent space in a nearby hotel, just about 25 or 30 of us. And they told me to give greetings to all the saints that I see. So I'm looking at you, and they send greetings. Now, brother, you didn't tell me how long this meeting goes on. Until I stop? I better use discretion, huh? Because if I'm too long tonight, you may not come tomorrow. So, let's look, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read a good bit of this chapter, but we're only going to speak about one word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I must confess, I'm so glad to see so many young people, young parents with children. That's the future assembly. I go to some places and I tell you, I think of one place, I'm sure that the youngest person in the assembly was 50 years old. You almost say, where's, now God is able, but you say to yourself, where's the future? So I'm so glad to see so many of you. Glad to know that you bring your children to the meeting. We could talk about that both in the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah, and back there in the time of Moses. The parents and the children came. Ezra says, all who could understand. And these children can understand. I assure you that if I had died at age 4, I'd go straight to a long eternity. I understood it as clearly as age 4 as I do today. So that's the truth. And they take in more than you think. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the Christ. In one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. The body is not one member, but many. One body, many members. You know, I like this because it's just like the human body, and that has been my interest for a number of years. One body with many members. And that's what the research is all about. We don't know enough about the members. And that's why they're looking in here and they're trying to learn more. One body, and everyone here is a member of that body. Shall we go on? If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. That's very important. He has put us in as it pleased him. He decides where we go. I have to keep to my subject because as I read this, I'm tempted to go into different directions. But we'll keep reading. If there were all one member, where would the body be? Now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. But let me stop here. I'm going to stop. Now, the ladies, the sisters can answer this. Now, as you look at your fingers, look at your fingernails. And on each hand, which fingernail has the best shape? The ring finger. So when you file your nails, that gets the least amount of work. But those others that require more work. Well, that's what it's saying here. Those members that seem undesirable, they are very important. And those that seem over here fine people, they don't need as much. Now, but let's read on. Our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members are honored with it. Now ye are body of Christ, and members in particular. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. May the Lord bless us the reading of his word. Now, I'm not going to talk about gifts. I'm going to take one. Verse 28. Helps. Helps. Now, let me start off by saying, God has no ungifted children. Now, in the world they advertise, I remember when our youngsters were quite small, they sent us a piece in the mail that they wanted the parents of the exceptionally gifted child to attend this meeting. Well, if you have exceptionally gifted children, then you have only gifted children, and you have some that are not gifted. But in God's household, every member is gifted. Now, we could go into detail on that, but people, do you know what your gift is? Because if you don't, you might be trying to do something God never intended for you to do and spoil the whole thing. See, it's very serious. But we're talking now of helps. Now, in the world, people at large want to get up in the world, want to be somebody, want to be on top. And even most of us in training our children, oh, be an engineer and be this, a computer expert, get up. But nobody wants to be down below. Nobody wants to help. And you cannot have an effective working assembly if there aren't some helps. 2 days ago, I think it is, they sent a ship up into space. I rather like how they announce these things. If the weather is favorable, well, the weather was favorable. But sometimes it isn't favorable. And other times it is favorable, and they still don't send any ship up there. Why? Because one man in a little cubicle, looking at a computer, saw something that was out of line, and he said, stop. He helped. And that's what we're getting at. Be helpers. The astronauts, we know their names. We don't know the name of that little fellow that was in that cubicle. Was he a help? Was he important? And so it is in the assembly of the Lord's people. You don't have to be known. But do what you have to do. God has the record. Helps. Little things. You remember the story of the lion and the mouse? I think the children would remember that. That's an old fable. You know, the lion was asleep. And a little mouse had the rudeness to run across his paw, and he caught the mouse with the next paw. And the mouse said, oh, please, Mr. Lion, let me go this time. Someday I may do you a favor. Well, the lion said, well, I'm not hungry, and you don't amount to much, but as for doing me a favor, that's not the question. But the lion was quite a nuisance in the community, and they set a trap for it. And one day this lion was roaring and roaring and roaring, upsetting all the animals and the whole neighborhood. And who should come by but little Mr. Mouse? And he said, Mr. Lion, just keep still. Now this trap was made of wood. And the mouse gnawed here, he gnawed there, and so forth, and released the lion. Little, but he was helpful. That's the thing that we want to get at. You don't have to be known. You don't have to be big in the world, and you don't have to be important. In your own small corner, work where the Lord has put you. And he's given each of us work to do. Let me give you an example. From time to time, in fact, too often, And I wonder why they do it. They're always advertising about medicine and doctors and research and operations. And they're telling you how to choose a surgeon. Now, I'm going to give you some free medical advice. If you should have to be operated on, and you want to know if the surgeon is a good surgeon, ask him this. Doctor, in the course of your training, did you like to assist? Just ask him that. And if he says yes, let him do the operation. A good assistant makes a good surgeon. But if he tells you, no, I didn't care to assist, I just wanted to operate, get a second opinion. We need the help in my own work. There were certain people I wouldn't have worked with me. They were poor assistants. And so the idea of assisting in the work of the Lord is very important. And no work is too small. All work is important. Idleness is a disgrace. It's work that we need, no matter how small it may be. Read with me one scripture, please. And by the way, my habit is to turn to many scriptures in the course of our discourse. My children, see, my wife is very gentle. She's easy. She scolds gently. But those three girls, Daddy, you read too many scriptures. You read, you turn to too many scriptures. So, if when I return home, I receive word that I turn to too many scriptures here, I will know that somebody spoke to them. 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. Everyone in the Lord's service is important. And we need those that will help in the service of the Lord. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 18. We want to bring out the principle here, God's way of looking at these things. David recovered, does everybody have it? 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 18. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Verse 21. David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they made also to abide at the brook Besor. They went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that every man may have enough for his wife and children. Verse 23. David said, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. Who will hearken unto you in this matter? Now, as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stone. How would the man out in the front have enough food and ammunition if the folks at home didn't prepare and send it? So while they may not necessarily be at the front, they're important. Every believer, child of God, is important. Little as it may be, and little as your duty may be, you are important. The important thing is to do what God has assigned you to do. Now, from this point on, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to look at some Bible characters, and some of them we don't even know the names of, and see how they helped. Now, Gospel of John, please, chapter 1. You see already we're turning throughout the Bible. But that's the only way to know the Bible, young people. You've got to take the pages and turn them. And remember, the Bible interweaves Old Testament, New Testament, all the verses. And it's as you read these and put them together. Peter tells us that no scripture is a private interpretation. That's where many of the cults make their mistake. They take one verse and that's it. It's got to fit in with all the others. And so as we look together, again the next day after John stood, and two of the disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is the same being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Now when you get home, find out where Jesus dwells. Remember what he said. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Where did he dwell? But that's not for tonight. Verse 39. He cometh unto them. He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon, and saith to him, "We have found the Messiah, who is called the Christ." He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah, you shall be called Cephas." Now, Andrew brought Peter. Acts chapter 1. Or better, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Now here's Peter preaching. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Isn't that something? Would you like to see that? One man preach and 3,000 people take the Lord. Now turn to chapter 4 of, and verse 4. Peter is preaching again. "Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was 5,000. 4,000 people and 5,000 men, to say nothing of women and children. Peter won for the Lord. But Andrew led it to the Lord. Do you think Andrew gets any credit? Do you think he counts for anything? Suppose he hadn't led Peter. Well, Peter's out in the limelight, yes. But Andrew did the little work. And I want to say this, beloved, again. Let's not try to get in the limelight. Let's serve in our own little corner. Now, many of you are familiar with the writer William Kelly. Brilliant man. Oh, God, is that a brilliant man. Now, Mr. Kelly was quite a master. When you read his commentaries, and I will admit, they're not easy to understand, but he doesn't tell you John 3:16 from the King James Version or any other version. You know what he does? He tells you his translation from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Pretty smart, isn't he? I don't know that there's anybody here that can do that. And when they were revising the Bible back in 1881, for some reason he refused to be on the revising committee. They came across a certain portion. The translation was difficult. And one of the men on that committee said, "There is only one man that I know who can tell us how to translate it. William Kelly." Now, obviously, he was a big man. Right? One day, another man met him and said, "Mr. Kelly, with all that you know, you could get someplace in the world." What do you think Kelly said? "Which world?" People want to be big in this one. Well, beloved, our time is coming. We're going to reign with Christ for all eternity. Our time is, let's do the little things here. Serve in our own small corner. Andrew led Peter, and Peter got all these people led to the Lord. Let's get to another, Acts chapter 18. Don't forget, the subject is helps. We are to help you in your small corner and I in mine. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus." And all the scripture he had was the Old Testament. And he was mighty in the scriptures. My brother was talking today about the Old Testament and New. They both go together. Study the Old Testament. This man was mighty in the Old Testament. That's reason. But read on. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He did not know that Jesus Christ had come and died, buried, and was risen. He didn't know that. He only knew of John's baptism, and he was He began to speak, verse 26, boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Husband and wife took this eloquent man and said, now come, you have to learn something. We're going to tell you. You know the Gospel of John, that's fine. But Gospel up to the time of John the Baptist, as you say. But since he came, the one that he pointed to has come, died, buried, and rose again. And they taught him. Let's read on. Verse 27, when Apollos was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Now, he, Apollos, mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing them by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Where did he learn it? Who taught him? Husband and wife in the home. They were helped. We don't read that Paul ever went out preaching. Apollos did, but he helped him in the home. That's what we're getting at. Doing our small part in our own way. God has the record. Let me ask you a question, though. And this is not a trick question. The Epistle to the Romans, by those who know, legal experts, people that are masters of logic and the scientific method, will tell you that the Epistle to the Romans is the single most scientific and logical piece of work written anywhere on earth. Of pure logic, you cannot beat the Epistle to the Romans. So much so that in some law schools, the students are required to study the Epistle to the Romans. But for the legal sense, for the logic, not for the spiritual sense. Who wrote the Epistle to the Romans? It's not a trick question. Who wrote it? Thank you. You know that. Paul wrote it. Now turn to Romans 16. Romans 16, like everybody finds. These are the gems that I find fascinating in the Word of God. So Paul wrote it. Under the inspiration of God, that's right. But look at Romans 16 and verse 22. Everybody have it? I, Tertius, wrote this epistle. Who's Tertius? Where'd he come from? And this is the only time that his name is in the Bible. Sure, Paul wrote it. But you remember in Galatians chapter 6, Paul said that his handwriting, that he wrote in large letters because of disease of his eye, presumably. Romans was written many years later. By this time, I take it that he couldn't see to write. God told him what to say, but Tertius wrote the epistle. He was a help. Aren't you glad that Tertius wrote it? Yeah. He helped. We don't know a thing more about it. But in his own little corner, he helped. Now let's look at another situation. Very simple. Jeremiah chapter 36. Verse 1. Jeremiah 36. Yes. All right. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a scroll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now, Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a scroll of a book. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am locked up. He was in prison, in the stocks, hands bound and feet bound. So he couldn't write. But God told him what to write. And he called Baruch. And Baruch, did he help? That's what we're getting at. Helping in our own small way. We know about Jeremiah. Very few know about Baruch. But God knows about it. And child of God, you may be in the assembly. And perhaps they don't notice me. Don't worry about it. God knows. And he's got the record there. I'm saying all of this that we might be encouraged in our own little way. Now, while we are on Romans, we might as well stay in chapter 16. We came away from Romans, I'm sorry. So, before we go to Romans, take 2 Corinthians. And there are a number of these, beloved, people who serve the Lord, who helped in the work of the Lord, and we have no idea of who they were, of their names. Some, no knowledge at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 16. Thanks be unto God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Everybody knows about Titus. Paul wrote an epistle to him. He was a student of Paul, trained under and by Paul. We all know about Titus. Fine. Verse 17. Indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, not me, of his own accord, he went unto you. Now, we have sent with Titus the brother. What was his name? Where is he from? The brother. I want to ask you, do you think God knew who the brother was? That's the point. That's what we're getting at. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be well known. You don't have to take a platform. In your own small part. We have sent with him the brother, whose fame is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, who was chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your own mind. Verse 22. Now there's Titus and the brother. Verse 22. We have sent with them our brother, another brother. Who was he? What was his name? Did he count? He was the help. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or if they inquire concerning our brethren, these other two who are not named, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them, all three of them, and so forth, the brother, no name. And some of us are so, shall I say, conceited? I think of something. Years ago, we had a conference in New York City. Well, we have one every year, particularly Sunday, every Labor Day. I think they celebrated the 17th conference this last Labor Day. And it was my responsibility to arrange the announcements and put down the names of the elder brethren. Well, simple me. I said in order to cause no offense, I would put the names in an alphabetical order. All right, nobody should be hurt. One brother once. I've been here longer than everybody else. I should be first. Friar. We don't need that. Just help. Just help. And God will adjust it all when the time comes. Now Romans 16. And this is particularly for sisters. You see, there is a current idea that the Bible is against women. Now, when they tell you that, you ask them, what Bible are they reading? Whose translation and whose version? Because they're surely not reading the one I'm reading. There is nothing in this book that makes women inferior to men. Nothing. Yes, last year in March, young fellow was taking course. I was in New York at the time. And he said to me, I want some help and some advice. I'm taking this course called The Bible as Literature. And he said that the instructor is a woman, and she claimed that Bible is a kid with it. Now, of course, you shouldn't be telling them, because that's not literature, that's her opinion. However, she was very much against the scriptures. They downgrade women, and downgrade women, and downgrade women. And so we asked for a few pointers and some references. I came back in June. I made sure to see, how did you make out in that course? The teacher gave me an A and said that she wished she could give me more. She never read the Bible. She heard somebody say so. But when her attention was called to the truth of the scriptures, she realized the Bible is not against women. It gives them a high place in the list of things. Who was the first one the Lord revealed himself to and said to as a messenger after the resurrection? Who was the first one? You will not find that in any nation on this earth that existed at that time. Women were not permitted to take messages, or to have legal dealings. The Lord said nothing against women. Now let's read. Now that we have that set, I hope so. Chapter 16 of Romans. Verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Typhosa, these women who labored in the Lord. Now, it doesn't say what they did, but Paul does tell us what women should do. And that does not make them inferior. I want to make that very, very clear. We cannot go into that tonight, but you can show from the scriptures that God does not consider women inferior to men. Nowhere. Now, we go on. Salute the beloved Precious, another woman, which labored much in the Lord. The other two labored, she labored much. God knows what you're doing. And sisters, you have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. You can do things that men can't do. Did you know that? In that private atmosphere. I know a sister, now with the Lord. A lovely sister, spiritually. Now, you will excuse me, I mean no unkindness. But she was very old. She might be. And she said it wasn't what they were hoping for. And there was this man, and he was sitting on his horses for her. Limping along, she walked with a limp. Giving out tracts, inviting people to the tent meetings. Came up his porch. Look at him. Now, notice please. Notice their introduction. Young man, you are too fine a looking man to die and go to hell. Oh, she wasn't on a platform yelling and screaming. Well, she did wonderful work. Do you know that brother turned out to be an outstanding evangelist? Do you think she gets credit? Do you think she was a helper? This is what we're getting at. Healthy and distinguished of the heart. I can tell you about this. Another sister. It wasn't until she died that we knew what she was doing in the assembly. She used to visit the sick, and she would buy groceries for various ones. We never knew she was doing that. But she was doing it. And now that she's with the Lord, it will take more than one person to do what she did. In the choir, a helper. Now, let's look at some more. Oh, by the way, how many apostles or disciples did the Lord have? Now, that's easy. Everybody knows. I'm not going to ask you the name. How many did he have? Oh, come, please. Listen, no tricks. How many disciples did the Lord have? Thank you. 12. That's right. Now, we know about Peter. And we know about John. And we know about Matthew. You know, how about the other 8 or 9? What do we know about them? Now, I know what tradition says. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about what the Bible says about them. Well, 9-0. Were they important? Did they count? Did they have meaning? But they weren't before the public eye. God knows. Acts chapter 13. You see, we're just doing the same thing over and over. Just finding out people in the service of the Lord not knowing, but serving anyway. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Prophets and teachers. All right? As Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Maon, the foster brother of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. 5 men. The Bible says they were prophets and teachers. Now we know about Paul and we know about Barnabas. Now tell me about the other 3. The Lord says they were prophets and teachers, but he doesn't tell us any more. I wonder if they were helpful. And we may not have an outstanding place, a place of prominence in the world and so forth. Even in the assembly, that's not the thing. The fact is that God knows and he puts you there to be a helper. Oh, here's another nice one. Acts 23. Acts 23. Verse 12. Acts 23, verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. My mind. They would kill Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Oh, by the way, beloved, do you know that in this wonderful country of ours, there are people who feel the same way about true Christians? Do you believe? In this world today, in this country, I'm not talking about China or Russia, I'm talking about this one. There are people who are trying to do the same thing with us. And I fear that if the Lord doesn't come soon, some of us are going to see slaughter. Are you ready for it? One of them says yes, thank God. It's not easy to say yes. But I fear that it's coming. But let's read on. Verse 14. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister's son, as Paul's nephew, heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Now you read the rest of it, and this young man, no name, he was means of saving Paul's life. Was he a helper? You think
Paul was glad for him that he came with the message. No name given. No details given. The only mention of him in the Bible was God knows. He was a helper. And that's the thing that I'd like to try for, that we help and serve in the word of the Lord. Now, we all know about Samson, don't we? What was Samson's father's name? We know that. Samson's father's name. Well, somebody knows that. Manoah. I'm not trying to trick you in any way. Samson's father was Manoah. Now, what was his mother's name? The Bible doesn't tell us. But do you know, if he was studied carefully, that his wife had more spiritual insight than the father had? Check him anymore. Yet her name is not yet. But one day, she will be rewarded for her insight and help and her guidance, both through Samson and through her husband. Guidance which they didn't heed. You remember in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, you read about a man named Naaman. Remember him? He objected very strongly to dipping in the River Jordan. He said, we have big rivers, real rivers, like the Mississippi across the and the Jordan. And he had some sensible help. They said to him, Master, if the prophet had said to you, do some great thing, would you not have done it? Now tell me this, beloved, how many of us can do some great thing? There is in the world today a violinist, probably most of you have heard it, it's not perfect. That man takes the violin, and I tell you, as they say, it only not only plays music, it talks. Suppose the Lord said to me, Uncle Barnes, you never play a violin like that, and then I'll let you into heaven. I'd never get there. It's a small thing. It's insignificant. We don't know the name of this little lady. She's only mentioned once, but God has the record. That's what I'm getting at. And in chapter 4, you read of another woman there. She's the only woman in the whole of the Bible that's called a great woman. As I had occasion to say today, when the Israelites were in bondage to Pharaoh, God said, I have heard your prayers, your cries. He didn't say, I saw your placards. Oh, your placards. Believers need to get on their knees. We have the strongest weapon in the world, and we're not using it. Oh, let's pray that God's will be done this coming election. Now we can talk about that. In Mark 24, we read of a woman who cast in her mite. Widow's mite, we call it. What was her name? God knows. And he knows each one here. And there's, you remember that woman of Syrophoenician, the Gentile woman? And God said, great is thy faith, I have found faith like this issue. What was her name? No. But she served in a little way. And so, beloved, as the scripture says, to whosoever much is given, much is required. And those among the Lord's people that think that they are up there and they have a lot, you better be careful. Because you will require a lot. And to whom little is given, then God requires less. Let us do as we read in Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever our hands find to do, even though nobody else will, let us do it with all of our might. Luke chapter 11. I think this will be the last one. Don't want to weary you, especially on the first visit. But Luke 11. Well, there are a number of them here. We'll touch them all. Luke chapter 11. Verse 1. It came to pass that as the Lord was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Aren't you glad? Who's the disciple? Which disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray? No. Aren't you glad he asked you? Like God gives there the most beautiful outline for prayer. Not that he said today, but the order and the attitude, the worship, the approach, and so forth, the Lord is stated right there. I think again of a man named Philip. And Philip asked a question. The Lord said that who he was and where he was going. And Philip said, we don't know where you're going. You know, I think that none of the other disciples knew either. And then in chapters 14, 15, and 16, the Lord gave that beautiful dissertation of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that Philip asked the question. And that reminds me of a story. All right, this is next to the last. This was a brother down in the islands in Jamaica. And they were in class. Now, when I was small, we used to speak of arithmetic at those early grades. You didn't have mathematics till you got into high school. But now they have mathematics in kindergarten. Well, so they were having what I would call arithmetic, but I suppose in those days they called it mathematics. And there was something that the instructor was explaining, and when he finished, he asked, does anybody understand? And this brother, who was in the class, raised his hand. He didn't understand. The instructor went over it again. Does everybody understand? He raised his hand. He didn't understand. Went over it again. Does everybody understand? He raised his hand. He didn't understand. Went over it again. Does everybody understand? He understood. When they got outside, all the other pupils gathered around and said, we are sure glad you raised your hand because we didn't understand either. I'm not too sure that anybody, that the other disciples really understood what the Lord was saying. I'm glad he asked the question. And the Lord gives that beautiful series in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read one thing. Never be too big to do menial work, so far. No work is disgraceful. Idleness is disgraceful. A rider on horseback many years ago came across a squad of soldiers who were trying to move a heavy piece of lumber, or timber, I should say. A corporal stood by giving orders, but the piece of timber was too heavy for these men. And so a man on horseback came by and said, why don't you help them? Me? I'm the corporal. I give orders. I'll help. So the horseman got down from the horse, got together with these soldiers, said, now all together, boys, heave. And the big piece of lumber slid in place. The horseman mounted his horse and said to the corporal, the next time you have a piece of timber too large for your men to handle, corporal, send for the commander-in-chief. The horseman was George Washington. He was able to get down. And beloved, let us think never that we are so big that we can't get low. Every one of us is necessary. Let us be helps, whether the saints know it, whether the elders know it, whether anybody knows it. Just do it in your own small corner. God knows. Shall we pray? Our Father, we love and thy blessed presence and give thee thanks indeed for this coming together of thy people. What a joy it is together. Together around thy holy word, we give thee thanks. Thou knowest all that has been said, thou hast been the sign of wisdom. We ask that indeed we have met the prophet that thy people's needs will be served. If there are any here that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, seeing how great he is, may they bow to him and kneel tonight. We are soon going home. Take us to our respective places of abode in peace and safety, we pray. Preserve us through the night, through the night. But thou knowest those meetings that are scheduled for tomorrow, if the Lord be not come, we commit all in thy hand with thanksgiving. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, do we have time for one hymn? This is so bad. Oh, I hope you know this one. 439, Work for the Night is Coming. And by the way, I've got two instrumentals here. You know, the keyboard is my favorite instrument. And I have asked the Lord, I don't know what will be in heaven in the way of these missions, but I've asked the Lord if there's going to be a piano in heaven I'd like to play on. 439. Who knows? Well, all right, fine. That reminds me of another sister up in Canada. The brother asked, can you play this sister? He said, I know them all.